Amen. Let it rise. We're glad that God has watched over us, kept us, and blessed us with the presence of mind to come together this morning that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. Today is the Lord's day. The earth has been in existence ever since God brought it into existence. However long that is. Please, as we come to the close of yet another year, God has seen fit in His all-wise wisdom to call out of this world a large number of people, some that we know, some that you know. But for whatever reason, He has left us here. Jesus told His apostles, you remember, He says, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He wants everyone to know what His Father has given them through His coming, teaching, dying, resurrection. We have the privilege of doing what God intended for us to do when He created us in Genesis 1. To love Him and to be obedient children to Him. And He wanted so much that even when we die, when we did not obey Him, disobeyed His word, knowing what He had said, knowing what we were enjoying. We don't know, the Bible doesn't give us the day that Satan appeared to Adam and Eve, or I should say to Eve and Adam. But whatever day it was, He showed up. God had given them instructions. Satan gave them instructions that countermanded what God had given them. They listened to the voice of the devil. They listened to the voice of the devil rather than the voice of God. God made sure that they knew His will. They decided. Without consulting with God, to obey the strange voice that was contrary to the will of God. Let us not make that same mistake. We've come this far. We thank God for it. I don't know how often you may read your Bible or listen to a sermon. But as we come to the end of this year, we thank God for bringing us to this plateau. Amen. His Bible is not changing. It is not changing. Therefore, since it's not changing, it has never been refuted. It has never been proven to be wrong. Wisdom says, study the Bible. Obey the Bible. Do what you read in the book. Well, the preacher said, make sure the preacher said what's in the book. Including this one. This book talks about a home, eternal home, with God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of the righteous. God is not a being that can lie. That awaits, that privilege awaits our obedience. So when we're called off the time side of life into eternity and embark upon the day that we read about in the book of Revelation called the day of resurrection, standing before God, the Bible says that God keeps a record on all of us, and our record is going to be open on that day. Be sure that you have made your decision while you lived on earth based upon what the Bible says. Well, my preacher said, make sure the preacher said what the Bible says. Because the preacher is going to have to give an account of himself. And you must give an accounting of yourself and myself. Preacher, why are you going there? I want heaven to know that I said that to this audience. Because I'm going to be called under carpet too for what I teach and preach and how I live my life. Do what the book says. Home and heaven. Home and heaven. I don't think there is anyone here present this morning that does not want to go to the place called heaven when you leave this world. But in order to go there, God is no respecter of persons. He must obey His will. We think about heaven. We read about heaven. They even make movie shows about a place they believe can be called heaven. But the only heaven that some people will ever know, as close as they get to it, if you call it close, is their own home on planet Earth. That's wonderful if it's based at that home. It's based upon the Word of God. I want you to know that I'm doubly happy to see everyone that's here as we wrap this year up. Closing out this year. I think it closes sometime this week. Is that correct? It's next week. Well, it closes sometime soon. Does that cover it? This is 2017. That means that 17 years ago, plus one, it wasn't 2017. God has brought us this far. Not we ourselves, but it is God who has blessed us to live this far. And we are really hoping, praying, and trusting that He will help us to keep on doing that. And in good health. And so we do. You've often heard the expression, heaven on earth, in reference to some homes. Home has the compatibility of using the finest experience that man has ever had on planet Earth. Homes can do that for you. Writers have talked of it in song titles. Somebody sings, "Oh, they tell me of a home far away beyond the sky." That's the one that God has. This world is not my home. Now, if we believe that song, that there's a home somewhere beyond this that can be our home forever, when we hear and when we get that information, regarding how wonderful the home is that God has, waiting for the obedient. That should be motivation, big time. For us to do, get number one, first of all, to know what God's will is, and then to do God's will. This relationship of man, or humans, between heaven and home, it's not an accident. It's not an accident. It is God's plan. It's another example of God planning and his way of introducing a common vocabulary between church and heaven. 2 Corinthians in your Bible, 2 Corinthians the chapter is 5. And the verse is 8. Willing and rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Also in John chapter 14 in verse 2, we read of the house with many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have said that. These are just a few scriptural references which indicate that heaven is a home prepared for those who are faithful children of God. Don't go by your feelings. Don't go by just what the preacher say. Check behind the preachers to make sure that he is preaching what the book says. Our divine heavenly Father is in every home that is home. He knows what's going on. He knows what it goes on every day, every second, in every home, everywhere. Our divine heavenly Father is in every home, everywhere. God knows everything. The hand of God operates every time a child is born into a home. Regardless of what kind of home it is God that is blessing them with that child. From this, we see the grace, the love that God extends even to those who are living unrighteously. That's the love of God. That shows how much God loved us. And that's when God sent his Son to die for us, even before we were righteous. We see the grace of God extended even to the vilest of sinners. A Christian home could well be called the womb, W-O-M-B, the womb of God. Why? Because from this home come boys and girls trained and prepared for entrance into the Christian life. Born into the world and then prepare themselves as they grow up to know the will of God and to do the will of God. God has brought us to this point in our life. It's a good time to take some time and do some self-investigating. How am I living in compared to what I read? Is God well pleased with the example that I'm setting for others? Because no matter who you are, somebody's watching you. You may never know, and that's commonly the case. You don't ever know, but somebody is watching you. Many of us will have an influence on people's lives that we never know or never communicate with, but they're watching. How can home can be heavenly and it can be hellish? Most homes can be improved. And even those that are considered Christian homes can grow and develop and become even better. And that's needful in these days and times. The environment of a good home is that of peace, joy, and love and happiness. The environment of a good home is that of a peace, joy, love, happiness, patience, understanding one another, Don't be so short-tempered. Well, I told you that before. Well, haven't you been told something more than once? Can you say that a little bit nicer? Well, you ought to... Peace. How does God talk to us? How does God talk to us? Perfect God. No father can contemplate the joys of his home as he plays with his children. And observe the important role of his companionship without being challenged to become, if he got good sense, if he has good sense, becoming a better man. The same is true of the mother. If you love them. There is no organization, there is no institution on earth so favorably equipped as the home to provide one with security, comfort, rest, and peace. There's no other organization. One should be able to get peace, understanding, and love when he or she comes home. There should always be love. There should always be understanding and the asking of information if you don't understand what's going on, especially in the homes of Christians in the Lord's church. Jesus enjoyed, you remember? Jesus enjoyed being in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. That's a family. A Christian home is sure enough a joy to be in. Some folks have had heart attacks all because there was no joy in the home. Some homes are so strife-torn that even a visitor is made to feel uncomfortable, feel the tension. That's how bad it is. Our homes compare in no measure with heaven itself. Did you hear that? It's no measure to heaven itself, but heaven is home on planet earth when there's a godly home, when it's a godly home, ruled, governed by the mandates of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heaven, for the people of God, is life filled with pleasures, a life filled with happiness, a life filled with mutual understanding and working together and being careful of the kind of language you use in the home. It takes a lot of faith, understandably. It takes spiritual depth, understandably, to look forward to a home that is better. When one has a wonderful home here, others look forward to that heavenly home. It's an example for others to want to do the right thing so that I can please God and go into glory and live forever and ever with the Father. Isn't that wonderful to have that privilege? To be able to have a perfect home with God in heaven forever. Never worry about anything. No more backaches. No more heartaches. No more headaches. And no more living with rancorous folks. You might not know what that is, but what a place! Jesus enjoyed being, as I said heretofore, in the home of Mary, Martha, and their brother, John. Our homes compare in no measure with what heaven is going to be like. But our home, a godly home, is a prelude to what God has waiting for us. And it should give us some understanding, some motivation to want to have a home as close as we can with the kind of home that they talked about, that Jesus lives in, the Holy Spirit lives in, and the Father lives in. To the people of God, to the people of God. Heaven is life filled with pleasures, with happiness, and something far better than what we could ever establish. But we want to do all that we can to move forward in that direction so that the Lord will be well pleased. It takes a lot of faith. It takes spiritual depth to look forward to a home that is a godly home. A home that looks forward to manifesting the fact that we have members of the family, mom, dad, children, all loving the Lord, living a life that we hope, pray, and trust is pleasing to God based upon His eternal words of encouragement and inspiration. Look forward. We're coming to the close of a year. And by the grace of God, we're looking forward to Him taking us into the new year. But what we have learned this year ought to encourage us and motivate us to make next year a better year because of what we learned this year. Well, no. And stop. Don't you think it's time to stop using excuses? Get up on Sunday morning because you got ready yesterday. I remember growing up as a young fella a few years ago. Watch it. And my responsibility was to get my things ready for Sunday. Now, you all in this modern generation, you might not know what whippings are. But our parents had a way. Whipping is a way that our parents had that caused you to feel very uncomfortable. And I don't just mean for a moment. Very uncomfortable for the rest of the day, at least for the rest of the day. And you remember the uncomfortableness. Church, we are more than what we have become. We are better than what we have become. For all of us, self included, all of us can use some improving. Better tomorrow than we were yesterday. More faithful tomorrow than we were last year. Are you all with this? Growth. You want to live with God? We can't live with God up there if we don't live like God down here. Did you get that? You said, preacher, seem like you're preaching a little bit different this morning. Yeah, I know it. It's on purpose, too. I want folks saved. And I want to be saved. God first. Nobody in second place but us. God is never in second place in our lives. Our homes compare in no measure with heaven itself, but it's a prelude, as I said heretofore. It should give us some understanding, some inclination as to how we should live in our home. To the people of God, heaven is life. Heaven is life filled with pleasures and happiness. And you realize when you read about it, that is something shown up better than what we have down here. It takes a lot of faith and spiritual depth to look forward to having a home that's better than what you have if you have a good home, if you have a godly home. But we cannot compare anything that we do that will supersede. We cannot supersede anything that God has waiting for us in heaven. Do you want to go? You say, but not now. Oh, I didn't put a time frame on it. But we must live our lives today and remain prepared for God's call out of this world. The Christian knows that there is nothing on earth that can really be compared to what God has waiting for us. Did you get that? An eternal home where we will live forever without trouble, without sickness, without any negativeness. That's almost impossible for us to believe that can happen anywhere. With God, it can. Your Bible says in 2 Corinthians, for we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. One day, we must leave this world. You already know that. We must leave this home, our preparation room, home, our preparation room. Again, home, our preparation room for our eternal home. This is our preparation room. How are we living here determines how we're going to be, or where we're going to be, and how we're going to live after we leave this world. God didn't create us to go out of existence. He created us to be His adopted children forever and ever and ever. He hasn't changed that. We're going to leave it. What we shall do, where we shall go, believe it or not, we have God's book, the Bible, so that we can make the decision. We can decide where we're going to live eternally. Wrapping up, when we reach the point in Christian development, Paul had reached in his life doing the will of God. Doing the will of God matures us. And it's not so very, very difficult to be the kind of individuals that stay awake most of the time in church. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the time of my departure is at hand. He says the time of my departure has come. He was sure. He was sure in 2 Timothy chapter 4, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses. He was sure he was going to be laid. Laid up with the Father. He was sure that he was going to wear a crown. He was sure about where he was going because he had kept the faith. He had not doubted God, the wisdom of God, the honesty of God, meaning that he knew that God was a being that keeps his word. God keeps his word. Let us follow him. Let us obey him, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we see others doing. If they're not doing what the Bible says, let us move forward. Try to help them, but keep moving forward. We've come this far, and God has kept us alive and in reasonably good health. Let us endeavor to continue to live and improve so that on the final roundup of human affairs, based upon Revelation chapter 20, I believe it is not there. Read chapter 21. When we stand before God who keeps the book, that chapter refers to the fact that God keeps a book on everybody. We want to hear God say, well done, a good and faithful servant, not hypocrite, faithful servant. The last two chapters, as I said before, of the Bible tell us about that heavenly home. And, it is something to read. And that's all I'm going to tell you. Go ahead and read it. One of life's greatest sorrows in the home is when God calls a loved one out of time into eternity. The time is going to come, though. We're not going to stay in that condition. God is going to have a resurrection day where we all stand before Him. He has our record. You've read the Bible. You've read chapter 20. We're going to be judged of what He has recorded in our record, because it's recorded. Our lifetime is being recorded by God. Remember that. As you go forth from this place, remember that. God keeps a record. Where are you this morning? God bless us to live last year, this year. And if He keeps doing what He's doing, our lives will flow into next year. God never does anything without a purpose. Without a purpose. He created the heavens and the earth. Created man for both of those, heaven and earth. God bless you, me, to be born. It's not an accident. My birth, your birth, 1,000 years ago, God knew about it. Known unto God are all things from all of eternity, eternity past, and all that's going to happen in the future. You owe it to yourself to stop just listening to preachers, but checking the Bible to see whether or not that's in the book. Don't stop listening to this preacher, but check behind me too. I want to make heaven my eternal home of abode, my eternal home of abode. And you know what? I'll be disappointed. I think, I'm not sure. I may be disappointed if I can't shake your hand, that I don't see you. But I don't wish to leave where I am, if I'm in eternity with the Lord, the Father. But why can't we gather together in glory land? The football game, your favorite shows, your favorite seasons, there is nothing more important than your soul. Amen. Than your soul. Jesus chose 12 apostles and then told them, don't go anywhere preaching anything until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's going to guide you into all truth. I don't want you testing. Teaching people the wrong thing and guessing. Don't go anywhere until you're baptized. That's in your Bible. 10 days later, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and they began to preach the gospel. That's in your Bible too. You see, a church here and a church there, a church everywhere. Folk just believe a church is, if it's a church, it's all right. If it's not the Bible church, it's not all right with heaven. It might be all right with you, but it's not all right with heaven. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Everywhere the apostles went, they preached the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere they went, folk and heard the word, believed it, received it, and obeyed it. they were added to the same church. The Bible authorizes one church. Not two. One church. Jesus says, Peter, upon the rock that I'm the Son of God, your Bible says it this way, upon this rock I will build my church. Not my church is, my church. So wherever you preach my gospel, you will establish my church. Not different ones. Well, what's this one? What's this one? What's one? Don't get upset with me. If you find two, just come and tell me. Check for yourself. This is the book that's going to be opened at the judgment. This book tells us about one church that all 12 apostles preached about. Thousands of people obeyed the gospel. And every one of them in this book was added to the same church. Not a church here, a church there. We don't have that permission from heaven to preach and then to decide what the name is going to be and what we're going to preach here. That's not our decision. It's not our church. It's the Lord's church. Don't get upset with me. Check the Bible. Now, if you want to get upset, then, oh, yeah, he did preach what's in the Bible. Then get upset with the author of this book. That's what you get upset with, not with me. There's one way to become a Christian. One way to become a Christian. The apostles preached the gospel on planet Earth in Acts chapter 2 for the first time in planet Earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Read it in your Bible. Acts chapter 2. All of the apostles, when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit on that day, all of them, all 12 of them, started preaching. Thousands was in Jerusalem, Jewish holiday. They heard the apostles preaching. Jesus had given the privilege of preaching the first gospel sermon on planet Earth to who? The apostle Peter. That's in your Bible, John chapter 16, I believe it is. Read all the chapter, you'll find it. Guaranteed. Peter became the chief spokesman. He became the chief preacher in verse 15. He preached from verse 15 to verse 36. Then Peter told that crowd, he said, that Jesus, that man that y'all crucified 50 days ago, that was Jesus Christ. That was the one that your family had been looking for, that you have been looking for. And he came and you killed him. The Bible says when they heard this, they were pricked or shocked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Well, let's listen to the answer that Peter gives them. Does he tell them to pray? Let's see what Peter tells them. Then Peter said unto them, verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or wicked generation. Then they, not everybody, but then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So a lot of folk heard that day. 3,000 souls was added to the church. And none of them were told to pray that they might be saved. Where are you this morning? Are you a member of the church of the Bible? You want to go to heaven, don't you? You want to spend heaven in peace, joy, and happiness. You say, well, I never heard that before. That's because you didn't read your Bible. Have you read about that church that you're in the Bible? You say, preacher, you run people away from this church. It's not my church. It's not my church. So since it's not my church, I have to preach the owner's, what the owner says. But it's your call. It's your call. We're coming. Why are you preaching this way? We are coming to the close of yet another year by the grace of God. God has been patient with us, with all of us. Let us thank him for his grace and mercy. Thank Him for His patience. But we're not going to see every year go out. Our time to leave this world is going to come. We can't stop that. But what we want to make sure of is that we are prepared to leave this world to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's it. You've heard the word. I pray God you believe it. We read it. Your God is sorrowful for the sinful life that you've lived. You're willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to be buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins. And the Bible says, then when that happened, God adds you to the church of Christ. That's in your Bible. If you're here, you're already in the church of Christ. We've come to a point in your life where another year is passing us by. You want to be as sure as you can that you're living in such a way that God is well pleased. Because you want to hear at the final roundup of human affairs, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He may even wake you up to tell you, "But I don't want to wake you up. Stay awake on your own." Where are you this morning? Take inventory upon self. Are you right with the Father? Do you believe that the life that you're living is well pleased? Do what you know you need to do. If you need to make a confession, come on down. If you need to be added to the Bible church, come on down. Garments are ready. Baptizer is ready. Water is ready. But that's your choice. That's your choice. I want people saved. The Lord and I have been talking about that quite a bit lately. The lesson is yours. The choice is yours. Let us together stand.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. And I will hasten to Him, hasten to glad and free.